Welcome to Conversations with Ask Ash. Conversations with Ask Ash focuses on people, processes, and outcomes. Ashley dives into everyday conversations around work efficiency, team productivity, and project execution. Let's get into the show. And now, your host, Ashley Schuler. Ashley
Schuler. What's happening, everyone? This is Ashley Schuler, your host of Conversations with Ask Ash. I'm excited about this episode. We are in for a treat today. If you are tuning in for the very first time, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to this podcast. You're in the Built From Scratch series, which is all about what we do as project leaders to build from scratch. Yes, we are building our projects, our programs, our initiatives from scratch. And so this is such a cool opportunity to pull back the layers of what does it take to build a project, a program, an initiative, whatever it is, from scratch. What are the resources? What do we need? What don't we need? We're exploring that here. I love this because already we've talked about some really cool stuff. We've talked about what does it mean for a project to be feasible? Meaning, all right, should we do this or should we not? We talked about if it ain't about the money. We talked about that mean green baby. We talked about the money and why that's so important in the process. And today, are we willing to risk it all? Because we're going to talk about risk management, which is one of my favorite topics for us to talk about. It's going to be good. Something that we've been doing, I hope you all have enjoyed it so far, is we've been breaking down reports. A fun fact, y'all, I used to do this on the Systems Lab Live, my live stream that I have each week. You can go to my YouTube channel. That link is in the show notes. And we have about like 130 some videos on that YouTube channel. A lot of live streams, a lot of really great content on all things project management, operations, strategy, and the such. But I used to do these reports week to week. And I thought to myself, I was like, I don't know if people are following the report from week to week. I mean, sometimes we go from hour to hour and we may forget something if we're going to be completely honest, right? Or when someone says, remember when? And you're just like, I told you that yesterday. You're like, you did? You know what I'm saying? So I decided, let me just do this. Let's do something where we are breaking down a short report over a series of episodes, and we can dive in a little bit more deeper. Okay, we can dive in a little bit more deeper. So we've been looking at this report from Slack. It's a State of Work 2023 report. Slack has from Salesforce. And we have went through the executive summary report, chapter one and chapter two and chapter three. And today we're going to go and look at chapters four and five. And we'll be done with this report. But this has been super fun. Why are we talking about the state of work? Like, what's up with that? So what's cool about the state of work and what we're looking at right now is that many of us in our positions as project leaders, you know, we used to be, and this is, I'm speaking for myself and also what I know from other conversations is that I used to be someone that was managing just like, multiple projects, right? You know, I was in conference rooms, you know, pre-pandemic days. And, you know, I needed to have, a conference call line. I feel like so antiquated, right? It's only been like a few years. A conference call line, a dial-up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I would be in Microsoft Project. Shout out to MS Project. And I've just managed different projects, right? Just manage a team, manage a project, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that was really it, right? Heavy on the email, not much on the Slack, okay? Calling people on the phone, you know how that is. And probably some of you all are still doing some of these things today. But when we talk about a digital first work environment or the future of work, the emphasis is on the way work has been reimagined since the pandemic. And we're in this hybrid, remote, global, distributed team environment, which means that we have to rethink our communication. We have to rethink our processes. We have to rethink the way in which we do work. We have to listen. People have literally just blown up what they've done before prior to the pandemic and what they're doing now. And still, there's still some tensions about how do we do this? You know, what's the blueprint that's out there? And there's many different factors from this. You have this aspect of, you know, remote work and the actual, your actual staff members and team members that don't want to go back into the office. You have this aspect of figuring out what does it really mean to be productive and how to get work done with less people, because you got layoffs and things. And, you know, you may have had companies that, you know, hired too quickly and then figured out, you know what, I don't think we had either the right pieces in play for what we thought we were going to be doing. And so now you don't need the people. So now there's layoffs. And so now you also have this aspect of like, all right, we may not need as many people, but maybe we are working with people across the globe. So what does it mean for us to have human connection that's different from the in-office connection? How do we make sure that team members understand what's happening when, where, why, and how are they empowered to get the work done? Also, I'll throw in this little tidbit. How are they also empowered to lead? So we have to think through all these things, because life in the digital first work environment has changed, is rapidly changing. And I always believe this, right? That people are always at the center of these projects, because the people are at the end of the day, are at the end of this thing, not necessarily the products, the services, you know, the processes, the things that are being developed. Sure. Yeah. Those are like the tangible things that you want to report out, right? The end of the year reports and the, you know, what hits the bottom line and the revenue, all of that is so important. But on the flip side of it, we have to remember that this is a people centered process. This is a very people centered driven work. And so while that's probably obvious to a lot of people, I think that we have not pulled that particular idea thread out into the open too much, you know, except for the past couple of years. But I want to say this here because it's really important that we as the project leaders begin to understand, you know, what is our role in this process. It's no longer that, all right, we just need you to manage these projects and let it rock. We are now developing processes. We're now seeing things like team culture, and we're understanding the importance of personal and professional development, what apps and technology we need to make. So it's a different thing now, right? We only had, you know, you all can't see me, but I'm just drawing like in my hand, like a circle shape, you know, and it's just like this limited like circle, like this little bubble, right? And then now it's slowly but surely growing and growing and growing. I probably shouldn't even say slowly. It is the pace of the circle, of the scope in what we do is growing. Now, in chapter 4 of this report, what is flexibility really? Because the report talks about when it comes to productivity and when people feel most productive, flexibility is something that empowers the team members. And flexibility of, hey, do I have to go to this meeting or not? Flexibility in work schedule, flexibility even on what you work on. Okay, so it's not about location, but it has everything to do with your work at hand. And so one of the chief people officers of Greenhouse Software, Donald Knight, says companies are now measuring success through their overall organizational employee health. So when we think about an employee's health, we're not just talking about their physical health, which is good, right? We're also talking about the psychological and the emotional effects of what it means to be productive. Things that I know I didn't initially think of, but it's also staring us in the face for a while now. So when we talk about providing your team members with flexibility, what does that look like for you? I'd love to know what you all are thinking and feeling about this. What kind of questions does this spark? Make sure to text me at #PMHuddle at 626-722-5444 or send me an email or direct message on social media. All that will be linked in the show notes. But tell me what you think about flexibility, you know, because it's not about office spaces, but this is about the how flexible are we creating environments where team members can feel empowered, compelled to do their work, and compelled to also to succeed. And so this is important when we're talking about developing a team culture that has flexibility and trust. So inside of this particular this particular report, something that is interesting from, what is this? It's TAFE from Northwestern emphasizes, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. And it's crucial to keep in mind that trust is at the core of a healthy work environment. If managers are suspicious and don't trust that someone is doing their job, that's less about remote flexibility and more about being clear on what that person is supposed to do. She says, are they engaged? Are they skilled enough or getting the training they need? Do they know what their role is as a part of the bigger picture? You've got to create that environment of trust by having clear expectations and safety to say what is and what isn't working. Super powerful right there. We talked about culture in our last episode when it comes to adopting the mindset of having new technologies and new processes in place and how it's so important that there is a sense of culture. And it depends, again, when I say a sense of culture, of what is the culture as it responds to this aspect of we need change. Because there are some cultures where they're like, we ain't even about that. We got to keep on keeping on. And there's some that are like, we are about that, but how are we going to get there? And to be quite honest, even in those two particular attitudes, it really boils down to what's the picture look like? Like, paint the picture of what this is, what productivity is supposed to look like. What does it mean to implement change when it comes to work management, when it comes to the software and the technologies that need to be implemented inside of a team and organization? And so we also mentioned too that this work is not siloed. So I'm not even saying that you got to take all of this on, but partnering with team members, partnering with senior leadership on what this looks like is going to be really, really good. There always has to be somebody at the helm of this, at the core of this. It's going to be the change champion. It's going to be the productivity champion or whatever you want to call it. Someone that's going to lead the charge, but you don't have to leave it alone. So what matters above all is that work schedules and locations are purposeful according to the kind of work being done and that each team's agreements are well-defined. Ooh, let's talk about that. Buzzword, team agreements. I remember doing a live stream, it was several months ago, but I talked about this aspect of what does it mean to have a team agreement? This is different from a team communications plan, but it's also in the same sphere, okay? Your team agreement is really coming together to understand what is the nature of how we do our work, what are the tools, the policies, and what are the shared agreements that we have with one another as a team when it comes to the work that we do. And so I would implore you all, I would urge you all that when we talk about internal communication strategy, when you talk about team communication plan, that you make sure that there's a shared agreement, a shared focus of rules, right? Where it comes to, all right, how do we want to work? How do we want to communicate? And what makes it work for everybody? Now, there's not going to be a one size fits all, or rather you won't please everyone with it. But if there's a shared understanding of what we're looking to do, how we're going to do the work, what's going to take place, I'm telling you, it's going to work to everybody's benefit. There's going to be a significant boost of productivity with that. So the report says that while some may wish to return to the way things are, the paradigm of hybrid work is here to stay. And it offers each industry or organization the opportunity to unlock massive efficiencies, but doing this work is complicated and messy. I love how he said that. This is the CEO of Stack Overflow. Why is this so important? Is because you all are in your team, in your organization, you all are going into uncharted territory. Who knew? Who knew we needed to understand how to navigate hybrid culture and understanding what all of that means? Who knew? But this is where adventure takes place. This is where innovation takes place, right? This is where we start to get an understanding of the group dynamics when it comes to flexibility and remote work and hybrid work and the way in which we work. We look at what does it look like from a brainstorming perspective when we start to get together for meetings, remote work, siloed work, skills development. All of that is so important in understanding the way in which we are doing this work. How are people developing as individuals, personally and professionally? What are the skills that they need? What does it mean to have a brainstorming session that helps to move the needle? When are the times that we collaborate and when do we not? Right? Thinking through that. Some of these things, I used to think, well, it's obvious. We don't need to collaborate for this. No, but if you think about the type of work that's happening, it's not we're just punching some buttons and then spitting out something from the printer. Okay? No. Scopes are complex. The work is different, right? Especially if you're building something from scratch, everything's new. And this, my friends, when you're talking about doing this deep work of internal communications and hybrid culture and all of this, new territory. And so there's lots to explore from this. So chapter 5 says, it's a path to productive collaboration. On average, employees spend 32% of their time on performative work that gives the appearance of productivity. Respondents say 43% of their meetings could be eliminated with no real adverse consequences. Interesting. Performative work. Let's think about that. Performative work. Okay. Let's break that down for a minute. So that means that there are ineffective meetings because we don't know what the purpose is. There is too much email, busy work. There's too much, where do we find this document? We have this meeting. We're doing report outs and things of that nature. And this is where we start thinking through that aspect of async communication, right? Especially when there's meetings that are little to no strategy. You set up a standing meeting, an automation through Slack, through your tool of choice that you use, and you can conduct a meeting in there. You can absolutely do that. I'd love to know some feedback from you all on what is eating away at your time. Banish distractions and multitasking with a platform that supports focus, choice of tools, flexibility, and automated workflow. So collaborative tool. We've talked a lot about your tech stack and what that means. Productivity happens when they are integrated into a single platform that allows employees to do their work in one place instead of having constantly flipping between dashboards. So this, my friends, is heavy because this requires a level of concentration and focus on not just the project work, but also different types of processes within your organization and making sure that there are tools that support information or where to find information, like knowledge management, how information is connected from one app to the other, and ensuring that the information that is inside these platforms are useful and can empower people to do work. So siloed tools, okay, we're using this tool to get work done, but then we're using that tool to get work done. It doesn't quite make sense. For example, I know somebody said, hey, Ashley, I'd love to talk to you about, centralizing our work and, what does that mean? And, what we're doing now. And typically, I'm telling you what, these are actually one of my favorite types of conversations. I love talking about this because it's complex. And these conversations always help people to figure out what do they have to do next. So one thing that this individual said is that they said, we have a project management tool. We use ClickUp, but then we also use Airtable for managing our work too. That's a big red flag right there because, and this is an Ashley Schuler perspective, if we're talking about managing cross-functional teams and project work, Airtable is not the tool for that. Airtable is a powerful database platform that can be able to house your data. It's wonderful. I like it a lot. Like I really, really do. I think it's instrumental to the success when you're talking about pulling in data and pulling in information, being able to utilize that, create dashboards in X, Y, and Z. I do. I think it's great. However, I believe that when you're looking at your tech stack, you got to have a list of tools and understand why you are using them. So ClickUp is a perfect example of utilizing this tool in such a way where you're managing multiple projects. You can even manage meetings inside that tool. And so the way in which we are introducing tools, the way in which we are training our team members on the tools is really, really important. So number one, if you have many tools, you are looking for a way to either consolidate or centralize your work, look at what you have that's existing. Look at what features that you need. And that might be that you may have to go and, have a meeting with your team or, ask a question at the end of an already existing meeting to say, hey, we're looking to do some new things. We're looking to centralize our work better so that people are more productive and they're not scatterbrained or all over the place. you know, let's talk about what we're using and what's working and what's not. This really helps you with the features that you need. It helps you to figure out if the current platforms that you have right now, are they effective or are they not? Or do you need to adopt something new? So a lot of really, really good insights that you can take from that and really begin to examine that. Now, something that was really interesting too is that when we talk about especially this aspect of productive collaboration, leadership intangibles matter and managers must work harder to support their reporters, their reports' well-being, their people, their team members. I agree with that 110%. I believe that leaders, especially executive leaders, managers, they have to work extremely hard, I believe, to ensure that people feel inspired to do the work. They have the tools and the skills to do the work. And there's nothing worse than having to do the work, but then because there's so much work, you think to yourself, man, I know there's a better way to do it, but you don't have the time or capacity to be able to explore and to experiment, right? And I think making sure that team members are involved when it comes to, you know, the company decisions, making sure that people are up to date with what's going on, making sure that the mission is clear and how they factor into the mission, that's what's going to supercharge the productivity. What's happening, everyone? I hope that you are enjoying the Built From Scratch season. I love that we're unpacking this topic. What does it mean to build a program, project, an initiative, and sometimes your life from scratch? And did you know that there are three reasons typically why projects fail? Number one, poor planning. Number two, unclear goals. And number three, miscommunication. So what do we do about this? We build better workflows. Yes, we build better workflows. And in fact, I have a service that will just address this, the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. I'm excited about this because I get to partner with you for one day to set up workflows that are going to help you plan better projects, execute efficiently, and be able to do away with miscommunication with your team members. Oh yes, you're going to have a peace of mind. Sounds like a dream? Well, it can be your dream. So be sure to apply for the ClickUp and Project Management VIP Day. All the information is in the show notes. Back to the episode of everybody involved. And so the relationship that managers and their direct supports or their, you know, their team members is really crucial. It's understanding their needs. It's understanding their desires. It's actively listening. It's being that type of leader that's going to be able to take the complaints, that's going to be able to take maybe the less desirable things and raise the issue up, seeing what are the common trends amongst others in the organization and seeing, hey, how can we make this change? Because I know that it's going to be beneficial not only to my team members, but to the rest of the organization. So here we are at the end of the report. And I'd love to know your biggest takeaways when it comes to the future of work, when it comes to your environment that you're working with. What's aligned currently? What's not? What are some of these rapidly shifting pieces that you're looking to implement? Or what's something in terms of automation and AI that you are looking to make that very next step? And so rather than thinking through, all right, what's going to be the quick fix for this? We're going to have to commit to having open communication and experimenting and seeing what's really going to work for our organization, for our team, and in the process of it all, ensuring that there is a way in which we continue to operate with integrity and stay motivated to do this great work. All right, all right, all right. I love it. I love it. So let's transition into today's case study where we're talking about risk management. Okay, so let's do a quick recap so we can understand where do we leave Casey, right? Where do we leave Casey? So, you know, Casey is a senior digital PM. She works for a state health department. This is her really major statewide initiative that she's doing. She's mid-level PM, so she's had project experience, but this is going to be huge because this is big. This is software app development, and so this is her baby. This is something that it's never been done before. They're creating an app that is going to help social service providers. It's also going to help persons that are experiencing poverty, those that are looking that need the help the most, are underrepresented populations. into understanding their total care. So health, dental, you name it, housing, it's all going to be inside of this app. It's going to be pretty crucial initiative. So she's excited about it. Casey's super excited about this. And so we left her in a place and space where she was developing the project budget, right? So she's meeting with the team. She's met with her project coordinator, her communications lead. She has a policy analyst, a project analyst. They have met to create the project vision document, the scope, the budget, the KPIs, requirements, and all the things, right? They're also in the midst of hiring and outsourcing for contractors right now to do the app and web development for this project as well. And so as they are working through these stages, some things have also started to move forth, such as getting the budget approval and whatnot. We're going to be tackling today risk. So Casey and her team are tackling risk. And let me tell you something. What gets me excited about risk is this aspect of it's like hunting and chasing down. Well, I don't know about hunting, but it's this aspect of it's like a puzzle. It's like, yeah, we'll say that. It's like a puzzle. It's like putting together the pieces of identifying risk, evaluating and preventing risks from derailing your project. That's what I love about it. I think there's a lot of gold within risk management. I think you could get a lot of great insight in your project work that you're doing when it comes to risk management. And so it's so important. It's so important. This is good. Some good stuff. So when we talk about risk, it's not always the bad stuff, right? You know, we're talking about anything that can negatively affect one or more objectives on the project, right? So for the purposes of, you know, this particular case study, you know, we're talking about like the timing of securing funds and the acquisition process. What if that's delayed? Like, what if they need to make like another hire for something that they're working on for this particular project? But a positive risk, which we're talking about the opportunity risk, is that it's a risk that would have a positive effect on one or more objectives. A positive risk. Now that could be, for example, I'm just throwing this out there. A positive risk could be, okay, we don't have, maybe they say, you know, we don't have necessarily, you know, a budget for, oh, this is a good one. So let me break this down so y'all can understand it correctly. So an opportunity risk is this. There is maybe a small media budget, and maybe you don't have a lot. And in order to promote the app, maybe you want to do some pitching or advertising or something. Maybe you want to take an ad out or something along those lines on a, you know, websites, newspaper, maybe you want to make sure that the reach of, you know, this particular app goes far and wide. So it could be that you take out money where the placement of it reaches, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. That can be an opportunity risk. And by that can mean more user sign up. That can mean all sorts of things. Okay. So when we talk through risk, I always like to look at it through three different lenses. Risk affects the cost, the money, the schedule, right? Your actual schedule, the scope of the project. Okay. And for Casey, you know, some things that she should consider in terms of developing a risk management plan is looking at lack of funding as a risk, development and rework, security and hackers, team members and other types of resources, the timing of funding, and the acquisitions process. So what do we mean by this, right? Let me break this down so we can make sure we make it make sense. So I believe in identifying risks early and often and ongoing, right? I think that at the beginning of a project, the more that you're able to identify the risk gives you more leverage and time to say, all right, if we've identified that we may have lack of funding, let's look at why that is. Is it lack of funding because we have a projected budget, and then we were only allocated a certain amount for that? Could it be that, you know, another risk could be that a team member could quit? That's always, that's a risk, right? And so having time to think through some of these risks, really, you and the team can really look at it and say, all right, well, how would we solve for this? What's the plan? What's the impact to the cost? Do we have an increase of costs? Is it going to affect the schedule? So if somebody were to quit in the middle of a project, what does that do to our schedule, right? And so that kind of gets back into even putting together the strategy behind the contractors and resources and things. That gets you to think through how you create your schedule. You know, who's assigned to this particular work? Is there coverage? Things like that. We talk about security and hackers. Well, what happens, you know, is the app secure? You know, how do we measure that? Do we have to put in more resources and funding into that? You know, so these are, again, some of the categories that Casey and her team should start thinking through and consider. And so I mentioned that risk should be developed at the beginning of a project. They also should be identified before the release, after each critical milestone, and during roadmap planning. So depending on how you're doing this type of project, and some of you out there may be doing this work currently, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you are managing and tracking risks. You might be planning out different releases. And so there could be an aspect to this where you are actively meeting before each release to say, all right, what particular risks are at play here? And how do we go about mitigating the risks? How do we go about doing that, right? So this is really good. This is really good. And as we start to think through the categories for risk, when risk should be developed, some of you may be thinking, well, Ashley, when am I supposed to get to do this work? Like, when should I be doing this type of work, right? And you know, this is going to be highly dependent on your structure and your environment, right? Some people are, you know, the project manager that, you know, this is all going to fall on me. And it may be. I've been there. I absolutely have been there. But I would urge you to think through the timing of when you're going to conduct these risk meetings, because you should have them within with your team. Even if you're the one that's going to lead and manage the process, right? You should have them. Now, how do you go about conducting it? Like, what are some practical steps? And I'd love to share that with you. So I believe that the managing of the risk management process, like how you go about conducting it, there's a couple things to keep in mind. One, I'm a big fan of creating some sort of documented plan, right, about how you go about managing risk. You know, that's something super, super simple. You know, you could, you know, use your prior experience, phone a friend, shout out to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You know, you could see what are some best practices that are out there. Do some research if your organization does not have a risk management plan, but you could have your own as a project leader. You could have your own risk management plan and strategy. So putting a document together, you know, 1 to 2 pages, and putting something together on what is risk management, how do you go about, you know, identifying risk, evaluating risk, mitigation strategies, who's responsible for finding the solution, all of that, being able to document that. So how do you get to the actual identifying and the managing of it? I just talked about how you go about setting up like the strategy and the concepts and all those types of things. You can use Word doc, Google doc, ClickUp docs, whatever you want to do, you can put that in there. So I'm also a really big fan of whiteboarding or mapping this out. And risk management is a team sport, people. This is a team sport. So do not do any risk identification alone. This, my friends, is a team sport. So I'm a big fan of Miro. So shout out to Miro. And this is my favorite whiteboarding tool. This is where you can go in and you can actually create one for free. I'll have a link in my bio too, where you can go and click and sign up if you haven't already. But I love this tool because you can do risk management inside of this tool. You can gather the team together and you can start identifying the risks that are there. You can set up your Miro board and it is a group activity. What I love about this is that this helps to spark different levels of conversation from different departments, different knowledge, experiences, and you're bringing it together in this one place and space where people can visually see the identification of the risk, what the how to evaluate it, the mitigation strategy, and everybody together is working together. And this, my friends, is really, really, really cool to do. So what happens after this? Because, you know, as we have already identified, you know, we don't want to have meetings just to have meetings, right? The big part of risk management is the actual ongoing management and execution of this work. And, you know, I get it. You got multiple projects. So the question is, how effective can you be in your team with keeping up with this information? And I'm so glad you asked this question, because it's really going to have really, it's going to be a concentrated and targeted approach that you're going to have to look at to say, all right, what's going to be the best way for us to identify, evaluate, and manage this process? So a couple of things, something that I've done is I have created a ClickUp risk management project list. I love it. It is something where I created the risk. It's in a task. The task has a whole bunch of questions in it. In the task part of ClickUp, there is also the numbers that go into it. Like when you go and you calculate how much of the risk and the impact, you know, and all of that. So you go in, you can calculate the risk, impact, and the probability, and come up with a score for that. You can then measure if it's like high, low, or medium. You can also connect it to a project task as well. And it's really, really super cool. You can also find that in the Next Gen Project Manager Playbook. I put the risk management guide in there. And so that too is available for purchase. The whole playbook is. It has some other cool things in there at the in the show notes as well. So you can also use Asana to do the same thing as well. And also Coda too. Now, Coda is an awesome platform as well. It's where you can manage a lot of different work processes and pull in some of your favorite tools in this document called Coda. So practically speaking, you can put this in ClickUp. This is going to be cool because if you manage meetings inside of ClickUp, all you have to do is reference a particular task. You can prep for a meeting where you can send out a ClickUp doc that has the agenda, that has the particular task maybe that you want to talk about, that has a reference list of the particular risk management, the risks that you have as well. And that is a way where you are in a meeting to say, all right, you got status updates, you need to decide on some things, and then you can bring up the risk log. And you can go through each of the risks and categorize what needs to happen, what's the status, and it's all there. And this is a great way. And since you're inside the PM tool, you can set up a reminder to go and to review the risk log. You can also assign people to help you, a SME or whoever else is on the team, to help with solving whatever the issue is that's being explored, the solution that's being explored from the risk. And yeah. It's good. This really helps to, again, when we talk about, like we talked about in the report, about apps being siloed and work being in different locations, this is what we talk about when we're bringing in processes all together inside of a tool where you can work together. And it's not like, oh, the risk log is in Microsoft Word, but it's not in ClickUp. So how do I, this is where you start to think through, you know, how do I go about managing my project work? And we'll mention that in a different episode about when you're working together, what does all of that mean when it comes to the apps and the tools and the things that's needed. But yes, practically speaking, you want to start off with a meeting with your team. Start off with a whiteboard. My number one choice is Miro. Second runner up is Whimsical. Same concept. You can, and they have plenty of templates and things for you to easily set this up. It will not take you very long to set up. These are things that I love about Miro. Miro has like over 1,500 templates. Whimsical also has templates too, but you can go and create something super easy, do some meeting prep, bring everybody together, identify the risks, and pull something together that is definitely useful and meaningful as well. And when you have these work management tools like ClickUp and Asana and Coda and things, you can pull in tools like Miro and Google Docs or Excel, and you can pull them into one tool so that at least, because to be honest, some tools are good for what they're intended use for. And sometimes we mismanage how to use tools when that's not for their intended purpose. So for when we talk about working together, again, the aspect of coming together and being able to manage the process of identifying and also following up and who's going to help solve this for this particular risk, you will want to use a work management, project management tool to do that. Well, all right, folks, as we wrap up this episode, I want to leave you with a couple of wrap-up thoughts, some call to actions. Number one, risk management is a team sport. Hello, somebody. Come on, team. Who's point guard? Who's shooting guard? Who's small forward? Who's the other forward? Who's the center? Okay. Risk should be identified early and often. And you also want to keep all project risks available, bringing them into your meeting structure and schedule. Well, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Conversations with Ask Ash. This is a Built from Scratch series. This is the Ready to Risk It All episode. Please let me know your thoughts. Love for you to text me or DM me with any of the thoughts that you have. And stay tuned. We have more episodes. I'm excited. And until next time, everyone, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Conversations with Ask Ash. Please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and follow Ashley on social media at Ashley_Schuler_. That's ASHLEYSHULER_.